we have some sad news to report from the Cherry Hill neighborhood in Baltimore. Last night, a man named Kenyell Wilson was shot and killed, another victim of gun violence that is on the rise in cities across the country.
Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott is calling on Baltimore police to make the city's most recent murder case a top priority. Wilson, who also went by the name Benny, was a worker with the Safe Streets office in Cherry Hill.
As part of the Safe Streets program, Wilson helped mediate conflicts before they turned deadly. He is the second Safe Streets worker to die this year. And what makes this story all the more difficult is that just yesterday, I spoke with one of Wilson's colleagues. Hours before the shooting, Troy Bradley told me that the neighborhood had gone a full year without a homicide.
You know, what do you think of it? You know, it's kind of sad, you know, to celebrate, but it's reality, and it's not nothing sad to celebrate.
That celebration has now shifted to mourning. We tried to reach back out to Troy. Understandably, on a day like today, we could not reach him. But we are going to run yesterday's interview anyway as a reminder that peace anywhere can be fragile. Here's Troy Bradley explaining how the Cherry Hill Safe Streets program had found success.
You know, we have what we call violence interrupters placed in a target area. A target area is an area that, you know, have got high-risk individuals hanging in that area. And a high-risk individual is a person who is potentially to get shot or potentially to shoot someone. And so we place a violence interrupter in that area. And that violence interrupter that we place in that area is from that area, grew up in that area, and has street credibility in that area. But that violence interrupter has to be clean. You know, it can't just be an active person that's in the streets that we're going to get to squash beef. These persons are, you know, former street men that still have that street credibility. And they do what we call ear hustle. They eye hustle. They bring that information back to the briefing table. This briefing table is confidential. It doesn't go to the police. So we take that information such as, you know, someone smacked Antoinette's sister. Well, we know Antoinette got two brothers that's actively in the gangs. So what do we got to do? We got to get ahead of that because typically in our neighborhoods, you know, things go from simple as a fight leads to a shooting or a homicide. So we get ahead of that and we get to the uncle. We get to whoever we got to get to and whoever had the best rapport, which 9 times out of 10, one of us have, because we all from that neighborhood. So we reach out and use our resources and our street credibility to say, hey, man, we heard, man, your nephew, you know, was robbed at a dice game. What can we do, you know, to stop this? Because we can't, you know, we can't allow this, you know, to take place. We got to stop this. So these are the tactics that we use to mediate conflicts and get ahead of the conflict. That way it won't lead to a shooting or a homicide.
You mentioned it's got to be somebody with street cred, someone like you.
Yeah.
You've been in prison. You've been shot. You know, do you need that background and that life story that you've got to make a program like this work?
It has to take, you know, one of your own, because, you know, that's the only way that you can engage with a high-risk individual. Sure, you can come into my community and you can be positive. You can throw events. And the community is going to be receptive to that. They're going to say, I like Mr. John. He's a nice man. But can Mr. John stop the violence? Can he infiltrate the hearts and minds of the high-risk individuals with a cookout, with giving away giveaways? Can he do that?
Right. No, I hear you. So what is it about you or someone like you that can go to that uncle who may be considering getting revenge for his niece that got slapped or beat up?
The someone like me is the person, there's a term that they say, we cut from a different cloth. I'm cut from that cloth. I have the resume. So when I come to them and I'm looking for a favor or I'm looking for some information, it's not a doubt in their mind that this information is going to go any further. He know why I'm here. He know what my mission is. He know what side of the fence that I live on now. He know I'm simply trying to get ahead of this. But I need certain information from him that you can't get. Only I can get it.
So tell me how your neighborhood has changed since you were growing up there and how it's changed since this program has been put into place. I mean, I assume you believe that what you're doing here is the reason you haven't had a homicide in the past year.
No, I know that's why we haven't had no homicide. Because I come from that community. I know what that community once was. But not only that, I participated in those things that happened in those communities coming up in the early 90s and things like that. Mm. And that was a community that was once nicknamed Baby Afghanistan. So when you speak of those years up to these current years, 2021, there's a huge change in the Cherry Hill community. Right now, I can 100% say to you that there is no conflict towards no side, towards no young man against the other in the Cherry Hill community.
I'm speaking with Troy Bradley with the Safe Streets program in the Cherry Hill neighborhood of Baltimore. The neighborhood has gone a year without a homicide. And Troy, I want you to zoom out now, if you could, because your city is seeing more gun crime, just like many other American cities. What kind of lessons can you bring from Cherry Hill for other places? What do you tell people?
First, I would tell them, be serious about it yourself. We try hard to change our lives personally. Then when you're doing those things in the community, when you telling a young man do something you not doing it, when you sneaking and you selling drugs on the side, then that type of energy can't come off you when you delivering that message. It's a person that lives that message that it comes off of, and is 10 times effective than the hypocrite. And on top of that, you have to be involved. And I believe that Safe Streets is the best fit for that because they use guys like us. We can go to the Bible. He ain't go and get no professor. He ain't go and get. He went and got somebody from the dirt. He went and grabbed right out the mud because he knew it would take one of their own and giving us this program, injecting those trainers into us, injecting the Safe Street message to us. We go right back out there and give those injections right back to the community.
You know, I was talking to your mayor, Brandon Scott, last week. He was on his way to the White House because President Biden is making gun violence a priority, and the president's trying to fund programs like yours in other cities. And I asked the mayor about the murder of Dante Barksdale, who was a leader in your organization, who, you know, as you know, was shot to death in East Baltimore last January. Here's what the mayor said.
Dante died doing what he did, trying to prevent someone from taking someone else's life. And we owe it to him to build upon his work and expand his work through the legacy of what we're trying to do, because we know it works. It's been proven to work.
So it sounds like it is working in your neighborhood, but there are still problems. I mean, there are still murders happening just outside the boundaries of your neighborhood. Just wonder how losing Dante Barksdale made your work harder and maybe demonstrates the challenges that you're facing.
Well, I want to comment, you know, first before I answer your question on, you know, the beginning of your statement. And when it comes to other parts of the city, this is a beginning stage. You know, this program is still in its infancy stages. You have programs that, you know, haven't even been up 2 years, and you're expecting them to perform, you know, and run neck to neck with programs that have been here 20 years. So you have to give a program time to develop. But how did Dante Barksdale's death affected some of us in different ways? Like I tell anybody who goes through death, if you had a chance to talk to that person, they wouldn't want you to be crying all the time and broke down and can't go forward. You know, they would want you to, you know, wipe those tears off your face, you know, reach the aim and get to where we was going at. You know, don't give up. So we're not going to break down and, you know, allow this thing to crumble, say Streets, but instead, you know, to give us strength to keep going and moving forward.
Troy Bradley is Violence Prevention Coordinator for Baltimore's Safe Streets Program in the Cherry Hill neighborhood of that city. Troy, thank you very much for speaking with us. I appreciate it.
No problem, sir.
And again, last night, after we taped our interview with Troy, one of his colleagues, Kenyell Wilson, was shot and killed. Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott said that Benny, as he was known, epitomized redemption.